Now, in our life, sooner or later, we will do something that we will regret. Something we will be ashamed of, something we will not want to remember. Right? Some silly things that we make, mistakes that we make, cause little regret. Right? Others can be for life. Right? If this morning you added salt instead of sugar into your coffee, you can kick yourself, you can live with it. Right? You will forget it after a while. But if you, out of your anger, strike out at somebody, your wife or your child, and you injure that person until that he or she has to live with the injury for the rest of their life, whatever regret you have, or how much regret you have, will never be enough to cover the wrong that you have done. And it is good to regret over the wrong things that we have done, right? When we have done something wrong and we regret it, that is good. Then we will try and make up our minds to remember that thing, the silly thing that we have done, and we try and not to repeat it in the future, you know, God willing. Sometimes we regret doing the right thing. Some people who are good and honest, they find a lot of money in a bag, and they honestly return it to the owner. Later on, they kick themselves and say, why on earth did I do that? I should have kept the money, and nobody would have known the better. There's regretting doing the right thing. Right? And very often we will look back, when we regret doing something, we will look back at it, and we will want to recall why we did it, what went wrong. Often we get angry at ourselves for making a silly mistake. Yeah? And but too often we find blame in other people. We would think that, we would say to ourselves, I wouldn't have done this if that person hadn't antagonized me. So we push the blame to somebody else. Right? And so we have regrets in our lives, big and small. But if you regret doing the wrong thing, if you regret doing the right thing, then we are really silly people. Right? As is the case of this person, identified as the Lot's wife. Right? You remember the story? Lot is a nephew of Abraham, a great man. Lot became wealthy and he decided to settle in a town called Sodom. And this place was a terrible place, And God wanted to destroy the city of Sodom together with another city called Gomorrah because of the wickedness of the city. And before God could do it, he sent two angels to rescue Lot and his family from Sodom. And these two angels literally dragged Lot, his wife, and two unmarried daughters out of the city before God sent down fire and brimstone to destroy the cities. And what happened was, before they reached safety, just as they were about to reach safety, Lot's wife looked back. She looked back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And so some people will ask, why is God so cruel? She only looked back. What is so wrong about looking back? Why was she destroyed for doing such a minor thing? Right? We like to look more into this, and find out the reason why. Hari ini kita lihat mengenai isteri Lot. Dalam buku Kejadian, bab 19, ayat 24 hingga 26. Nah, dalam hidup kita, kita akan membuat sesuatu yang kita akan kesali. Kita akan kesal sesuatu kesilapan yang kita buat. Sama ada besar atau tidak, kita pasti akan kesal. Kalau kita kesal sesuatu kesilapan yang buruk, itu bagus. Kita akan ingat supaya dalam masa depan kita tidak akan mengulangi kesilapan itu lagi. Tapi kadang-kadang kita kesal kerana kita membuat sesuatu yang benar. Ada orang yang mencari satu beg yang penuh dengan wang. Dan mereka, kerana mereka jujur, mereka kembalikan wang itu. Tapi tidak lama kemudian mereka akan kesal. Mereka fikir mereka terlalu bodoh memulangkan begitu banyak wang. Seharusnya mereka simpan wang itu kerana tidak ada orang yang akan tahu. Itu adalah kesal mengenai sesuatu yang kesal untuk membuat sesuatu yang baik. Kita lihat isteri Lot ini. Dia musnah kerana dia kesal. Dia lihat ke belakang. Dia adalah isteri Lot. Lot masa, pada masa ini dia tinggal di bandar Sodom. Sesuatu tempat yang betul-betul dikeji Tuhan. Tuhan mau memusnahkan Sodom ini. Dan sebelum dia memusnahkan Sodom, dia menyelamatkan Lot dan keluarga dia. Lot lari keluar dari Sodom. Tapi sebelum dia sampai ke tempat yang selamat, isteri dia lihat ke belakang. Dia lihat ke belakang dan terus dijadikan batu oleh Tuhan. Now let's see what was wrong in her action. Okay, why did God remind us of Lot's wife? First of all, let us look at the person. The person only identified as Lot's wife. Now, no name is given to her. Right? No name is given to her. And I like to say here that a name is important. A name is important because our name identifies who we are. Right? In the past, you know, people from a certain province or from a certain village, they would bear a certain name. So when you know hear that name, you know that person comes from that village. And also in the past, parents would give names to their children, maybe in relationship to what they are doing, their work. Like a pig farmer might call his son Arthur. Arthur means pig. Or Akau. Something related to what they've been doing. So the name, it reminds me that parents must be careful about choosing names for their children, because the child has to live with the name for the rest of his life or her life, right? So names are important to us, right? Name identifies who we are. People know our names, they know who we are, they identify us, right? The believer is a child of God. The Christian is a child of God, and he is known by God. And in heaven, one day when we reach heaven and we stand before God, God will give us a new name. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Now, God giving us a name shows that the Christian, the believer, has a living relationship with his Father, God in heaven. God knows the believer personally. God cares for that believer personally. God knows the number of hairs on our heads. He cares for what happens to us. That's why we have a name before him. He identifies us. God does not see us as a church, as one big group, without faces, without names, nothing. No. God sees us as individuals. He knows our background, he knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our sins. He knows us far better than even our earthly fathers know us. So the believer has a name before God. But not so the unbeliever. The unbeliever is a person who has never recognized God at all, never bothered about knowing him and his will. He does not care about who his God is and what he has done. The unbeliever takes the blessings of God for granted. The unbeliever has no gratitude towards God. Just like the children, too often the children in our homes today, they come, have a meal, go to bed, and then run out again to do their thing. They don't call you, they don't greet you in the morning, they don't recognize their parents at home and so forth. Yeah. Too many children are like this. No gratitude to their parents. The unbeliever is similar. They live in this world where God blesses all of us, and yet they show no gratitude. And as a result of this, the unbeliever does not know God, does not bother about God. God in turn does not receive nor recognize such a person. There is no place in heaven for such a person. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 23, the Lord Jesus says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Lot's wife was such a person. She never knew God. And as a result, God rejected her. Pertama, kita mau lihat Isteri Lot ini siapa? Siapa dia orang ini yang Yesus Kristus suruh kita ingat kepada kesilapan dia? Siapa orang ini? Satu, kita mau lihat bahawa isteri Lot ini tidak ada nama. Dia tidak dinamakan dalam Alkitab. Nama itu penting kepada kita. Dengan nama kita tahu siapa kita ini dan orang lain tahu siapa kita. Kita ada nama, kita ada identiti. Kita tahu latar belakang kita, kita tahu keluarga kita. Nama itu penting. Dan setiap orang Kristian, bila dia sampai ke syurga, Tuhan akan memberi nama yang baru kepada dia. Ini bermakna bahawa setiap orang Kristian ada hubungan yang ketat, yang hidup di antara dia dan bapa dia di syurga. Tuhan tahu kita secara peribadi. Dia khawatir kepada kita. Dia tahu apa yang kita perlukan. Dan dia ingin memenuhi apa yang kita perlukan itu. Tapi seorang yang tidak percaya kepada Tuhan, tidak dikenali Tuhan. Kerana seorang yang tidak percaya kepada Tuhan, walaupun dia hidup dalam dunia ini, walaupun dia diberkati Tuhan dalam dunia ini, dia tidak kenal Tuhan sebagai bapa dia. Dia tidak mahu tahu Tuhan. Dia tidak mahu ikut Tuhan. Dia mahu hidup sendiri. Dan akibatnya, Tuhan menolak dia. Tuhan tidak mengenal dia. Di syurga tidak ada tempat yang disediakan untuk orang sebegini ini. So, but Lot's wife must have been a good woman. She must have been a good wife to him because she gave him many children. We know at least 2 unmarried daughters and a few other daughters who were married to men in Sodom. She took care of her house well. It shows she was a capable woman. She was hospitable. Now, before God destroyed Sodom, he sent 2 angels to meet with Lot. And Lot invited them into his house. And this is what happened in Genesis chapter 19, verse 3. Yeah, he said, but he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. The 2 angels went to stay with Lot. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread and they ate. So these 2 unexpected guests came into Lot's house and the wife could prepare a feast for them. So she was a capable woman. Her home was open. She was hospitable. She was a good wife. And she is probably one of the main reason why Lot became a wealthy man. There's a saying, behind every successful man is what? A woman. Behind every successful man is a woman. It's a woman who gives support in times of trouble. A woman gives advice. And more importantly, the woman helps the man to save. That's why when we were, before we started working, we got a piece of advice. Your first salary check, you pass it to your wife. She'll take good care of it. I believe that is sound advice. Women are more careful with money than most of us men. So she was a good wife. She loved and respected Lot. She stayed with him. Gave him a family. Took care of the home. And even when Lot was forced to leave Sodom by God, she followed him. Unlike her married daughters who decided to follow the unbelieving husbands. So we see the person of Lot's wife. Secondly, we see... Kita lihat bahawa isteri Lot ini seorang... isteri yang bagus. Dia pintar jaga rumah. Dia bersuami dengan Lot dan dia membina keluarga Lot. Dan dia membantu Lot membina kekayaan dia. Sampai Lot menjadi seorang yang kaya di Sodom. Dan dia sayang kepada Lot dan dia kagum kepada Lot. Karena bila Lot terpaksa tinggalkan Sodom, dia ikut. So dia seorang yang sebagai seorang isteri, dia seorang yang bagus kerana dia memenuhi tanggungjawab dia sebagai seorang isteri. So you see the person, she's without name before God, although she's a good wife and mother to the believer Lot. Secondly, we see her life. Now we look at a man, we see how successful, we measure a man's success by his career, by how well he supports his family, We see his standing in society. And finally we see how big a funeral he gets. That's how we measure a man. Thousands of people come to this man's funeral. He gets a gigantic wreath. Everybody comes from everywhere to pay their respects for him. So this is a great man. We respect him. For women, talking about women who manage the home, we look at a woman and how well she has achieved her purpose in life. We measure it by how well she manages her home, how well her children behave and appear, how good are her children in their studies and so forth. And at the end, we judge a woman's success by how successful her children are. These are the standards used by the world, actually. This is a big mistake. What are God's standards? God uses different standards for us parents, as fathers and as mothers, and as husbands and as wives. God does not look at how fast and how far we run in this rat race, or how well our children run in this rat race in this world. God has different standards of looking at us. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head." God measures our success, our achievements as parents, as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives. He measures our success by looking at our children. How well we have imparted the knowledge of God to them. How well they know our Lord. How well do they know their Bible. God does not measure our success by whether they are saved or not. That's not our duty. It's how well they know their God. The father as a head leads the way. He must lead. But the mother has no less an important role in supporting the father, especially when he's not around. And in the Bible, and in many cases in history, mothers were used as instruments in the salvation of their children. Children who became pillars of the church. In the New Testament, we see the example of Timothy. Timothy became a very great help to the Apostle Paul. His father was a Greek, a non-believer. But Timothy's grandmother Louise and his mother Eunice were believers, and they taught Timothy from a young age, and God used that to bless him and save him. The other great man, Augustine, his father was also a non-believer, but his mother was a strong believer in the Lord. And although her son lived many, many years as a non-Christian, as a non-believer, and even did very funny things, and the mother continued praying and praying for him. And just before she died, God saved Augustine in answer to her prayers. And then another famous man, John Newton. He had lost his mother when he was about 6 or 7. But his mother was a lovely believer. And when John Newton was young, she used to sing hymns to him, pray with him, teach him from the Bible. And when John Newton was an adult, he was a non-believer. But on a ship which was about to sink because of the storm, John Newton remembered the words of his mother. He remembered her prayers. And so God saved him through his mother. So you see here how great the influence of the godly mother is to the salvation of the child and to the usefulness of the child in the work of the Lord. Now, how does Lot's wife compare to this standard set by God? Okay, kedua kita lihat kehidupan istri Lot. Kita lihat keadaan hidup dia. So, dalam dunia ini kita lihat kepada seseorang lelaki. Kita lihat sama dia berjaya atau tidak. Kita lihat kerjaya dia. Kita lihat pendapatan dia. Kita lihat bagaimana dia menjaga keluarga dia. Seorang wanita yang di rumah, kita lihat bagaimana dia jaga anak-anak dia. Sama anak-anak dia bertabiat baik, pelajaran mereka bagus dan sebagainya. Nah, itu adalah standard yang digunakan dalam dunia ini. Tapi bagaimanakah Tuhan melihat kita sebagai bapa dan ibu. Bagaimana Tuhan lihat kita sebagai suami dan isteri. Dia lihat sama ada kita berjaya atau tidak dengan melihat anak-anak kita. Tuhan lihat anak-anak kita sama ada anak-anak kita itu kenal Tuhan tak. Dia lihat anak-anak kita sama ada anak-anak kita itu tahu sama ada Tuhan atau tidak. Sama ada anak-anak kita kenal Yesus Kristus atau tidak. Itulah standard yang Tuhan memberi kepada kita untuk ikuti. Bukan sama ada anak-anak kita berjaya dalam dunia ini. Sama ada mereka jadi masyhur atau tidak. Itu bukan dikenali oleh Tuhan. Dia mau tahu sama ada kita sebagai ibu bapa benar-benar menjaga anak-anak kita melalui Alkitab. Sama ada kita ada berdoa untuk mereka. Sama ada kita ada tiap hari ajar mereka mengenai Tuhan. So, how does Lot's wife compare to the standard set by God? It's a measure of her life. First of all, we see Lot's her daughters were married to unbelievers, to men to whom spiritual things were not important. They were not bothered about spiritual things. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, we are told here, "So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, 'Get up! Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.' But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. So Lot is worked up. God has warned him, Sodom will be destroyed. So he runs to his in-law's place, his sons-in-law's. And he tells them, 'Come, go, go, go. Let's get out of here.' But the sons laughed at him. The sons-in-law laughed at him and considered it a joke. The daughters of Lot's wife married unbelievers. People who did not believe in the things of God. And in the end, his daughters stayed with their husbands until it was too late. This such a verse is a rebuke to Lot. It tells us that Lot was a poor witness for God in his life. Perhaps his behavior or something, his life did not match his profession as a worshipper of God. So people did not take his words seriously. Such a serious matter. That Sodom will be destroyed tonight. And they took it as a joke. Lot is to blame for this. Because he is the head of the household. But Lot's wife shares the blame as well. Because she is the mother of his children. It is very clear that her children were not brought up in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, sorry. What happened? You see here. After Lot escaped from Sodom, he ran and stayed in a cave with his two daughters. What happened? His two daughters, wanting to preserve their family name, they slept with their own father. The two daughters, they went to bed with their own father. They made him drunk and they slept with him. No Christian mother would teach such a thing to them. Children. It was never taught in the Bible. And yet, Lot's children did this. Lot made a blunder staying in Sodom. It's a horrible place. In fact, in the Bible, if you look up the word sodomy or Sodom, the meaning is terrible. No? It means abnormal sexual relationship. To put it bluntly, it means men sleeping with men. Women sleeping with women, men with animals, women with animals. Something which is just horrible. And that's why Sodom and Gomorrah had to be destroyed by God. It was a place full of filth, full of evil thoughts. There's no place for the things of God in such a city. That's why God had to destroy it. And yet, his wife, Lot's wife, did not mind staying there. Lot's wife did not mind her children, her daughters, marrying the men of Sodom. She did not mind being in a place such as this. So we see here, Lot's wife. If she were a godly woman, you know, staying in such a place, she should have nagged the husband until he got up and left the home. Right? You wives, if you find that your husband has shifted into a house where the next door is full of a gambling den, or a whorehouse, or a house where prostitutes are staying left and right, you want your children to stay in such a place? No, right? If you were in your right mind, you will nag your husband day and night until he could not stand it, and you say, okay, we find another house to stay, somewhere far away from this place. You will not tolerate staying in such a place. But she did. Lot's wife did. She had no problem staying in such a place. Maybe Sodom was more comfortable than living in a tent in the desert. Maybe Sodom had more distractions, more shopping malls, more friends to be with than in the countryside. At the end of her life was full of regrets. Her family was destroyed. She lost her married daughters. Her home was gone. She lost her physical life. And what was worse, she lost her spiritual life. She's now regretting it eternally, because she is lost to God forever. So kita lihat hidup isteri Lot. Tadi kita lihat bahawa Tuhan melihat kesan hidup kita sebagai bapa atau ibu dalam hidup anak-anak kita. Dia lihat sama anak-anak kita kenal kepada Yesus Kristus atau tidak. So kita lihat isteri Lot, bagaimana dia, apa pencapaian dia dalam hidup dia. Kita lihat bahawa isteri Lot itu tidak mengajar anak-anaknya mengenai Tuhan. Kerana anak-anak perempuan dia berkahwin dengan orang-orang yang tidak percaya kepada Tuhan. Bila Lot pergi ke rumah anak-anak saudara dia untuk memanggil mereka keluar dari Sodom, mereka ingat bahawa bapa mertua mereka apa? Tidak serius. Buat lawak saja. So, kita lihat bahawa anak-anak isteri Lot ini berkahwin dengan orang yang tidak percaya kepada Tuhan. Dan kita lihat bahawa Lot itu dia pindah masuk ke dalam Sodom untuk hidup di sana. Dan bandar Sodom itu memang satu tempat yang penuh dengan maksiat. Penuh dengan dosa-dosa yang dikeji oleh Tuhan. Kita lihat dalam dictionary, makna Sodom itu. Sodom itu maknanya pertalian seksual yang abnormal, yang tidak dibenarkan oleh Tuhan. Itu sebab Sodom itu dimusnahkan oleh Tuhan. Tapi kita lihat isteri Lot itu tidak ada masalah hidup dalam tempat itu. Dia tidak ada masalah hidup dalam bandar Sodom yang penuh dengan maksiat. Dalam akhir hidup dia, dia kesal. Dia kesal kerana keluarga dia sudah musnah. Dia kesal kerana hidup dia diakhiri. Dia dimatikan dan dijadikan sebuah sebatang garam. Dan sekarang dia kesal juga kerana dia tidak berada dengan Tuhan. Dia kesal sekarang kerana dia dalam neraka. So we see in her life. Now we see the lessons. What can we learn from this tragic figure? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has also reminded us to remember her. What are we to learn from this woman? First of all, let us learn that salvation is a personal matter. The salvation of your soul is between you and God. It is not between you, your pastor, and God. It is not between you, the priest, and God, and so forth. It is between you and God alone. Look at Lot's wife. She was married to Lot. Whatever failings Lot had, the Bible acknowledges Lot as a worshipper of God. The Bible acknowledges Lot as a believer in God. Lot is now in heaven with God. Whatever failings he had in this life, God saved him. Sodom was only destroyed after Lot was taken out. He lost everything. He lost his herd, he lost his wealth, he lost his home, everything. He only was left with the clothes on his back. But his life was saved. and his soul was saved. Who was the closest person to Lot on the earth? His wife. Right? The Bible tells us when two persons are married, the two flesh become one, not two. This is a mystery in the life that we live. When two persons are married, those two persons become one, not two separate people. So Lot's wife was the closest person to Lot in this world. She went through the ups and downs of his life. Remember, if you read the book of Genesis, the Lord God appeared to Abraham and told Abraham to leave his home country of Ur, somewhere in Iraq. Asked him to leave and go to the promised land. Abraham left, and together with him went Lot and his wife. And so they traveled many years in the desert, living in tents. Life wasn't very comfortable. It's hot, dusty. You don't have the amenities of a permanent place. But he traveled from place to place, and Lot's wife patiently followed him wherever he went. She helped Lot build up a family. She helped Lot build up wealth. And he finally settled down in Sodom. And every time Abraham stopped, he would worship God. Everywhere that Abraham stopped for a while, he would build an altar, sacrifice animals, and worship God. And so Lot's wife would have probably taken part in these worship services to God. She loved Lot. She respected Lot. And she followed him wherever he went. Even when Lot was forced to leave Sodom, she followed him willingly or unwillingly. She didn't want to leave the things at home, but she still left with Lot, unlike her married daughters who decided to follow their husbands and died in Sodom. She was forced to leave Sodom, and they ran towards safety, a place called Zoar. Lot entered Zoar and he was saved, but Lot's wife, his wife, did not make it. She was so close to Lot. She traveled with Abraham. She heard about God's promises to Abraham. Now God promised to Abraham that God will bless him, and Abraham's descendants will be like the stars in the heaven and the sands in the sea. She saw with her own eyes how God blessed Abraham and protected him. Wherever Abraham went, God was with him and blessed him, and he became a wealthy and a great man. And one day, Lot, his wife and his whole family and everything they had were attacked by their enemies and taken away. And Abraham, with God's help, came and rescued them and brought them back. And not a single thing that they had was lost. She experienced this physical salvation from God. But she was lost in the end. She was lost. So kita mesti lihat ajaran dari hidup isteri Lot ini. Apa yang kita boleh pelajari dari hidup dia? Pelajaran yang pertama adalah keselamatan roh kita adalah hal peribadi di antara kita dan Tuhan. Bukan di antara Tuhan, pastor dan kita. Tidak. Keselamatan roh kita itu adalah hal yang peribadi di antara Tuhan dan kita. Kita lihat isteri Lot. Dia berkahwin dengan Lot. Lot itu dikenali dalam Alkitab sebagai seorang yang percaya kepada Tuhan. Lot hilang semua dalam Sodom, dalam kemusnahan Sodom. Tapi dia diselamatkan oleh Tuhan. Sekarang roh Lot itu di syurga bersama-sama Tuhan. Tapi isteri Lot sudah hilang. Dia di neraka sekarang. Isteri Lot, dia ikut Lot ke mana-mana. Dari hidup yang susah di gurun, sampai dia menjadi seorang kaya. Isteri Lot ikut dia. Dia bersama-sama dengan dia kerana dia isteri kepada Lot. Dia pernah melihat bagaimana Tuhan menjaga Abraham. Abraham keluar dari tanah Ur. Abraham membawa Lot dan isteri dia keluar bersama-sama. dan isteri Lot, dia pernah dengar janji Tuhan kepada Abraham, bagaimana Tuhan akan menjaga Abraham dan memberkati dia sampai dia menjadi seorang yang termasyhur dalam dunia. Lot dan isterinya pernah diserang oleh musuh-musuh dia dan diambil sebagai hamba. Tapi dengan pertolongan Tuhan, Abraham dapat menyelamatkan Lot dan isteri dia dari musuh-musuh mereka. So isteri Lot tahu mengenai Tuhan, tapi dia tidak diselamatkan. Roh dia hilang di neraka. Now many of us here, many of us in the church today are in the same position as Lot's wife. Many of us have heard the gospel again and again. Many have read the Bible. Many have memorized useful verses. Many have learned to pray. And many have enjoyed the fellowship and the love found within the church. But your souls are not saved. You do not know God personally. You do not feel that sin is serious. We have never seen the need to repent of your sins. We have never sought the forgiveness from God. The Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross has no relevance to you. You may enjoy some blessings from God because you are associated with the church or with His people, and you are trying to follow the teachings of the Bible, but maybe only in a superficial way. You follow only when it suits you. All this in the end will be of no use to you. Remember Lot's wife. Knowing about God, knowing about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing about what He has done on the cross will not save you. You must know God personally. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You must realize that your sin, whether it is a white lie or a short-temperedness or laziness or whatever, all these are sins. Sins which have put you in danger. You must realize why you need the Lord Jesus Christ who is hung on the cross for you. In Psalms chapter 2 verse 12 it says, "Kiss the Son lest He be angry and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." You may have a Christian name. Your parents may be Christians. You may have come to church for donkey years, I don't know how long. But if you do not know God, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you are in terrible danger, just like Lot's wife. If you are sick, and you go and see the doctor, and the doctor gives you the medicine, and he tells you to take it 3 times a day, and you bring that medicine home, and you give it to your brother or your sister, and you tell him, "You take it for me 3 times a day, will you get well? You won't. You might make your brother or sister sick, because they are not. You don't need to take the medicine. You need the Lord Jesus Christ personally. All of us are dying because of our own sins. We grow old. We grow sick. We will die one day. It's because of our own sins. We cannot help one another. The only cure is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, and to ask God to forgive us of our sins. There is no other way. That is the only way of salvation. Not in a Christian name, not in a right baptism, not in taking the Lord's Supper, or not associated with a good church. All those things are not enough. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You must believe in your heart what He did on the cross can cleanse you of your sins. And if you claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you claim that you have been saved by Him, you must become united with Him in His church, with His church and with His people. You must be willing to say, as what Ruth said, In Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, it says, your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. You must say, feel that your sins are so bad, so horrible, that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse them. You must feel that this world is so horrible and so bad that the only way of escape is to run to the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask Him to save you. You must be willing to leave all that you have in this world and to be with Christ for your soul to be saved. If your hands were jammed into a door and you can't release it, and the house is burning down, you have an axe in your hand, will you preserve the hand and let yourself be burned to death, or you'll be willing to chop off the hand and escape? Tough decision. But is your life or your hand? Which one? Our souls are important. Our souls will last forever and ever and ever. You need Christ. I need Christ. All of us need Christ. We need to know Him personally. We need to go to Him. Kita lihat bahawa keselamatan roh kita adalah sesuatu yang peribadi di antara kita dan Tuhan. Dan kita perlu mengenali Yesus Kristus secara peribadi. Kita mesti tahu siapa itu Yesus Kristus. Kita mesti tahu apa yang Dia buat untuk dosa-dosa kita. Kita mesti rasa bagaimana kotor kita dalam dosa-dosa kita. Kita mesti kenal bahawa kita dalam keadaan dosa-dosa kita, kita dalam keadaan yang bahaya. Kalau kita mati dalam dosa-dosa kita, kita akan langsung ke neraka. Kalau kita sakit dan doktor memberi kita ubat, kita tidak akan ambil ubat itu dan memberi kepada abang kita untuk beri dia makan. Kita yang sakit, kita yang sendiri yang mesti makan ubat itu. Kita semua ini sedang mati kerana dosa-dosa kita. Kita semua perlu keselamatan dari dosa-dosa kita. Dan setiap orang yang kenal dosa-dosa dia, dia mesti pergi kepada Yesus Kristus untuk diselamatkan. Tidak ada cara yang lain. Hanya Yesus Kristus saja yang boleh menyelamatkan kita dari dosa-dosa kita. And secondly, we see in Lot's wife that sin is disbelief and disobedience. Chapter 19 of Genesis 26 tells us very clearly, but his wife looked back behind him and she became a pillar of salt. You ask, what is the big deal? She only looked back. She only looked back at the place Sodom which was being destroyed by God. Why? Maybe she was curious and all that. Why? Why was she destroyed for doing such a simple thing? Please look at verse 17 of the same chapter, Genesis chapter 19 verse 17. This was the Lord's command. Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. Lot's wife and Lot and her family were running for their lives. The instruction was clear and simple. Run to the mountains, don't look back. Run, look forward, don't look back. Simple. If you are chased by an angry bull, do you look back at how near the bull is? No! You look at where you are running, avoiding the stones, avoiding the hole, you run. You look forward and you run. You don't look back at the bull. It's there. Whether you like it or not, it's there. It's chasing you. You run. You don't have to look back. If you look back, you trip and fall, you're dead. Her instructions were clear and simple. But she disobeyed. She disobeyed by turning back. Sin is doubting God's goodness and disbelieving His judgments. That's our sin. We do not think that God will fulfill His promise to us. All the good things that He promised, we do not think that He will fulfill it. And then we sin against Him by not believing His judgments. We don't believe that God will do what He has promised to do against us if we sin against Him. Look at Adam and Eve. God told them, you can eat of every fruit in the tree of the Garden of Eden except one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he warned them, the moment you eat of this fruit, you will die. Physically and spiritually. What did they do? They ate. They were not satisfied with all the goodness of God's grace upon them. All the trees they could eat except for one tree. You just leave that alone. The rest of it is good enough for you. They did not believe in God's goodness. They wanted that tree. They ate it. When they ate, they were also showing their disbelief in God's judgment. God warned them, the moment you eat of that fruit, you will die. They did not believe that God's judgment was there. They disobeyed God and they disbelieved him. And today, many are still doing the same thing. We all here in this whole world have experienced God's goodness. Who of us here is worried that the sun will not rise tomorrow? We take it for granted, isn't it? Huh? When you wake up at 7 or 8, the sun is there. We know it's coming. We take a breath, we know we have oxygen coming in. We will keep us alive, not suffer the outside that will kill us. We have health. Two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two hands and two legs. Huh? We have these things, this body, to run around. To use the opportunities that God has given us to achieve something in this life. And most importantly, we know that God has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins if only we would believe in Him. But in this world, even the sacrifice of the Son of God is not enough. Many people today, they ignore God. They want to live their lives for themselves. Sinful men think that they can live better lives without God, without Him bothering them. They don't believe in Him. They do not submit to Him. They do not want to be reconciled with Him because they think that God cannot offer them better things. There is no fear of God in sinful men today. They don't believe in God and they are not worried about the punishment that He has promised against them. In Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 21, it says, "Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence?" There is no fear in the Lord today. We are repeating the sins of Lot's wife. We have been warned, and yet we are unafraid. Sin of disbelief and disobedience continues in a vicious cycle in man's life. Kita lihat pelajaran yang kedua. Dosa itu adalah tidak mempercaya kepada Tuhan dan tidak patuh kepada undang-undang dia. Isteri Lot, dia dimusnahkan, dia mati kerana dia pandang ke belakang. Dia mau lihat apa yang terjadi kepada Sodom. Bila dia pandang ke belakang, dia tidak percaya kepada Tuhan dan dia tidak patuh kepada arahan Tuhan. Bila Tuhan menyuruh Lot keluar dari Sodom, dia beritahu mereka, lari ke depan, jangan lihat ke belakang, jangan pandang ke belakang. Kalau kamu pandang ke belakang, kamu akan musnah. So, isteri Lot tidak percaya kepada Tuhan. Dia tidak takut kepada Tuhan, walaupun dia sudah diberi amaran ini. Dan dia lihat ke belakang. Dalam dunia ini, ramai orang juga begitu. Kita sudah dengar mengenai Tuhan. Kita sudah tahu bahwa Tuhan memberi anak dia Yesus Kristus untuk dosa-dosa kita. Kita sudah tahu bahwa satu hari nanti Tuhan akan menghukum dunia ini kerana dosa-dosa kita. Tapi kita tak takut. Kita terus hidup kita sendiri tanpa Tuhan. Tanpa takut kepada dia. Dosa-dosa kita ulang lagi. Kita tidak takut kepada Tuhan. Kita tidak mau tahu kepada Tuhan. The people of this world live without the fear of God. And unfortunately, many people in the church are doing the same thing. They come to church, they worship God, but they worship the God of their own imagination. To many people, God is love, like a Santa Claus figure. God is there to answer our prayers. God is there to answer my every need. God is my servant, so to speak. They have no concern about their sins. They have no concern about God's judgment upon them. What is clearly taught in the Bible, they say it is a matter of your opinion. It is a matter of interpretation. That's why we have so many churches that are willing to accept lesbians and homos into their presence. There are some churches that allow them to become leaders in the church. Beware. God has warned us. He is patient and is waiting for us to repent. But time will run out. Remember Lot's wife. She spent a lifetime with a believer, her husband, Lot. But she never learned. She never learned how serious her sins were. She never fully realized the consequences of her sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our God." She was so close to a fellow believer, to a believer. She lived with him. She grew up with him in their married life. She even worshipped God with him. And yet in the end, she lost her soul. She died. Your sins, if it's unrepented, will catch up with you. The same sins which caused the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, these sins will kill you, both physically and spiritually. Remember Lot's wife. Remember what killed her. So ramai orang datang ke gereja hari ini untuk sembah kepada Tuhan. Tapi itu adalah Tuhan imajinasi mereka. Untuk mereka, Tuhan itu adalah Tuhan yang sayang kepada mereka sebagai Santa Claus. Hanya di sana untuk mendengar doa mereka. Hanya di sana untuk memberi apa yang mereka inginkan dalam dunia ini. Orang Kristian ini tidak khawatir mengenai dosa. Tidak khawatir mengenai hukum Tuhan. Apa yang diajari dalam Alkitab tidak penting kepada mereka. Tapi kita mesti dengar amaran dari Tuhan. Dosa akan membunuh kita. Kalau kita tidak taubat dari dosa kita, dosa kita akan membunuh kita. Kita lihat isteri Lot. Dia begitu dekat dengan Lot. Lot itu seorang yang percaya kepada Tuhan. Dia begitu dekat. Tapi akhirnya, dia hilang ruh dia. Dia dibunuh oleh dosa-dosa dia. Dosa-dosa kita akan membunuh kita kalau kita tidak bertaubat kepada Tuhan. Kita mesti ingat kepada isteri Lot dan dosa-dosa dia. And then thirdly and finally, do not become too attached to this world. Let's look back at Luke chapter 17. Allow me to read verses 26 downwards. The Lord Jesus tells us, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. The Lord Jesus Christ has warned us. Back in the days of Noah, before God destroyed Noah's world, people were sinning. They were enjoying their lives without God. They were getting married and being married. They were doing business. They were planting and doing all kinds of things, the normal life. They were enjoying the world. They were enjoying their worldly life. Until the day Noah entered the ark with his family God shut them in, and God destroyed the world with the flood. The world was destroyed because of his sins. Same thing happened in Sodom. The Lord Jesus said here, they were drinking and getting married, they were doing their business, they were selling and they were buying, they were enjoying their world, until the day Lord left Sodom. And God rained down fire and brimstone on that city. As in Noah's time, and as in Lot's time in Sodom, today we look around us. Many are happily carrying on with their lives without God, until it is too late. The Lord Jesus has warned us, if you realize the danger that is coming, don't wait. Don't delay. Run. He tells us, if you see the danger coming, don't go into your house to collect your things. Leave them. Run. You see a tsunami coming, you run into your house to collect your camera. Why should I take a picture of the wave before it kills you? You run. You don't waste your time. You run. Don't be like Lot's wife. She was physically out of Sodom. She was almost entering the city of Zoar. Safety. She turned back. And she was lost. Why did she turn back? She probably was remembering her daughters, remembering her sons-in-laws, her friends, her beautiful home, all the property that she had. She was not thinking about why God destroyed Sodom. She was thinking about what she left behind. The same thing happened to Israel. Remember the history of Israel? Israel was in slavery for 430 years in Egypt. And then God sent Moses and rescued them out of slavery. But 2 months and 15 days later, while they were free in the desert, they started complaining against God. And these were their words. Exodus chapter 16 verse 3 says here, and the children of Israel said to them, to Moses and Aaron, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. God saved these people from slavery. And yet all they could remember was the food they had to eat. The bread. They did not appreciate God's salvation. They showed that their hearts were not on the things of God, but on the worldly things in Egypt. It is the same today. God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings us good news of freedom from sin, escape from hell, peace with Him, our God and our Creator. And it's a promise of future life and eternal joy in heaven. But many people still prefer the misery of this sinful world. Too many people feel that this world is good enough. But everything in this world is rotting away. All of us are getting old. Right? We don't get younger, we get older. Things are falling apart. Anything that is left by itself will rust and break down or spoil. Even relationships go bad. The world is falling apart. The polar ice is melting. Food prices are increasing. Diseases are increasing. The only thing not increasing is our salaries. Worse, this world is falling apart. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Now he who loves abundance will increase. This also is vanity. You can have the whole world, my dear friends, and you won't be happy. That you can be assured of. Do not become too attached to this world. Because nothing in this world will satisfy us. So why waste your time on it? Why grow roots in this world when this world will disappear? Pelajaran ketiga yang kita perlu belajar dari hidup Isteri Lot ini adalah bahawa kita jangan terlalu terikat kepada dunia ini. Dunia ini akan musnah. Dalam Lukas bab 17 ayat 26 hingga ayat 30, Yesus Kristus sudah beri amaran kepada kita. Dunia Noah dimusnahkan. Bandar Sodom dimusnahkan kerana dosa-dosa mereka. Dan dunia ini yang kita tahu sekarang, yang kita kenal sekarang akan musnah kerana dosa-dosa dalam dunia ini. Kalau dunia ini akan musnah, mengapa kita mau buang masa dalam dunia ini? Mengapa kita mau memberi perhatian sepenuh kita ini kepada dunia ini? Itu tak ada guna. Walaupun kita dapat semua benda harta dalam dunia, kita tidak akan puas. Kerana dunia ini tidak boleh memuaskan kita. This world will disappear. And everything in it. Lot's wife chose the world instead of God and she lost everything. So let us beware of becoming too attached to worldly things. It will strangle us. If you are attacked by a boa constrictor or a python or an anaconda, you know those big snakes? They wrap around you. How does a snake kill you? Many people think that, oh, they crush us to death. No, they break all our bones and then we die. No! The snake suffocates you. The snake wraps around your body. Now you have to breathe. If you are alive, you breathe. Every time you breathe out, the snake tightens its grip. No? So you breathe out, your lungs become smaller. And the snake tightens its grip. Then you breathe in again, but you cannot breathe in deeply because your lungs have become small. The next time you breathe out, the snake squeezes again. And your lungs become smaller and smaller until you cannot breathe in. And you die because of suffocation. Holding on to the things of this world, grabbing on to the things of this world is just as well as you are holding on to a snake. Because the snake will wrap itself around you and it will kill you. The things of this world will wrap itself around you and you will die. You will die. You will die. God offers life to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5 verse 25 it says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Remember Lot's wife. She refused to let go of the world. The world was killing her. She refused to let go of it. And so she died. She lost everything. She lost her soul. You cannot have Christ and the world at the same time. They don't mix. Light and darkness never mixes. You turn on the light, the whole room is bright. Darkness disappears. Your choice is very clear. Christ offers forgiveness from sins. Christ offers eternal life. The world offers you enjoyment in these things, in this world. But the world asks you to live in disobedience to God's laws. And the consequence is clear. It is eternal suffering. Remember Lot's wife. Let go of the useless things of this world. Let them go. Hold on to Christ. You will not regret it. You will not regret losing everything in this world. Because the things in heaven are far better, far greater. And they last forever. The Bible has promises this. Remember Lot's wife. Kita mesti ingat isteri Lot. Dia hidup untuk dunia ini. Dia inginkan benda-benda dunia ini. Itu sebab dia paling ke belakang. Walaupun dia hampir selamat dari Sodom, dia paling ke belakang. Dia lihat ke Sodom. Kerana hati dia masih di sana. Dia inginkan harta dalam dunia ini. Tapi harta dalam dunia ini membunuh kita. Sama juga dengan ular. Ular membunuh kita dengan dia memaksa udara keluar dari badan kita sampai kita tak boleh bernafas, kita mati. Kalau kita pegang benda-benda dunia ini, kita akan mati. Kita akan dibunuh oleh benda-benda dunia ini. Lebih bagus kita ambil benda-benda Tuhan. Kita pegang kepada Yesus Kristus. Kerana Yesus Kristus janji hidup di syurga kepada kita. So in conclusion, first of all, my dear Christian friends, remember Christ has given His life for you. You belong to God, not yourself. Your home is no longer here. You are just passing through. In fact, the world doesn't want you also. The devil hates Christians. The less they are in the world, the happier he is. You are not welcome here. So don't try to make yourself welcome also in this world. So why be distracted by the things of this world and the affairs of this world? They are not worth your attention. They are not worth your effort. They will not give you everlasting satisfaction. Far better for us to look forward to heaven and to prepare for it. Let us strive in our life to use whatever we have for God's sake. When we work for God in this world, when we hold on to the things of this world, I assure you, the Bible assures you, you will enjoy God's smile in this world. And then when you close your eyes, on your last day, you will enjoy God's smile forever in heaven. For those of you who have yet to know Christ, look around you. The world as we know it is disappearing, literally. The North Pole and the South Pole are melting. We have volcanoes popping up everywhere. Our peninsula, Malaysia, we have never felt earthquakes before. Now you are feeling it regularly because our neighbors are having earthquakes regularly. This world is changing. Everything is breaking down. Governments cannot be trusted. Whether it's US or here, there's no difference. There's no security in this world. So why cling to this world of disappointments? This world will never satisfy you. It can never. But it's a world of sin. Remember Lot's wife. If you turn to the world and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will regret it forever. Because you will be lost forever. Why choose to go to hell when heaven's gate is open to you? Remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Don't turn back to this world, but turn to Christ. Shall we close by singing hymn 142?